All right, episode 134. We're back, Rob.
And I put on my vest because I was chilly.
But now you're warm.
But now I'm in the sun.
Well, so the studio here, this is definitely the hottest room in our office.
Yeah.
Or maybe the worst climate controlled. I don't know if it's hot because it's the coldest and the hottest, right?
Yeah.
But and we're both wearing puffy vests. It's vest season, man.
It is vest season.
We need a McSweeney's article on it's puffy vest season.
Puffy vest. Puffy jacket season. Puffer whatever. Season.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Episode 134. We're back. We were talking in the office the other day about something. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but it had a reference to old Atlanta agencies and just how long we've been here and just sort of agency life in general, and thought, oh, that's a podcast, you know, shared experiences or other agencies or just the long winding road of, you know, design firms and advertising agencies and how, you know, they evolve and change and things like that. Right. I thought it could be kind of fun to talk about our experience, Atlanta specific, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if you're in advertising long enough and you keep a resume or a CV, it'll just be littered with a bunch of firms that don't exist anymore.
If I created, or they exist under different monikers or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is the name changes or what. I mean, if I made a CV for myself, I don't know that there'd be any agencies that really still exist, maybe one or two, you know, but they're not what they used to be. They're right. Totally different, that type of stuff. How about you? Probably similar, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the same. I mean, a couple of the big ones are still around, operating under a different name. Some of the smaller ones have come and gone.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of that, but yeah, I mean, my journey was in Atlanta advertising was such that I'm going to just give my own brief history. I kind of fell into it. I had to get an internship, and I was getting a dog at the same time.
Wait, what do those two things have to do?
I know. It makes no sense. In my brain, let me explain.
I'm getting a dog, so I need an internship? What?
Yeah. I was a junior in college at UGA, and my parents had been all over me about getting an internship.
Yeah, what are you going to do all summer?
What are you going to do all summer? You got to get an internship.
Yeah.
At the same time, and coincidentally, I also wanted to get a dog.
Okay, got it.
Okay. This is going to make sense in a few minutes.
Okay, hey, I'm here for it. This is like
Pulp
Fiction.
I was searching around, finding dogs. I wanted to get a Siberian Husky. Long story short, there was a woman named Peggy Gunning.
Okay.
Shout out, Peggy.
Shout out, Peggs.
She lived on Brighton Road.
Oh, really? Okay, nice.
In your neck of the woods.
Love it.
And I went over and got one of her Siberian Husky puppies and was talking to her. And she said, I run an advertising agency she has a carriage house. She's like, yeah, it's a small little, you know, four of us back there. And we just got to talking, and I was like, oh, well, that's kind of interest and communications and English. And anyway, long story short, I ended up interning with Peggy Gunning at the Gunning Group.
The Gunning Group. Okay.
Just kind of a small little boutique shop that she ran out of the back of her house. And
that was
kind of how I ended up, In the biz. I don't know that the Gunning Group is still around.
What did you work on? Do you remember any type of projects or clients?
She threw me into media planning.
Okay.
So
makes sense.
Okay. She threw me into media planning. So I started to learn that. It was a lot of healthcare stuff, like smaller healthcare, mostly local clients.
Okay. That's cool.
But so I learned how to kind of do media planning there. And then, so I don't think the Gunning Group is still around.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I moved on from there. First internship was at BBDO South.
Yeah.
Which still exists.
Yeah. I think they dumped the South. Did they?
They may have dumped the South.
It's just BBDO. Or maybe it's BBDO Atlanta or something.
BBDO Atlanta, whatever.
Yeah.
And also in media, but I was interning.
Okay.
Listen to this. Why I stayed in this business, I have no idea. I was interning on the housing, on the HUD account, the housing and urban development account, media planning.
Government.
And that was back when they had three floors, and it was like, oh, the media planners are on one floor.
Yeah.
Account guys are on the, you know, second floor, and then the creatives are on a different floor.
Party on creative floor.
And there was, I'm dating myself, but there was no internet. There was no email. It was all government forms of
in triplicate. Yeah.
The pink one, the yellow one, the white one. And different file cabinets for different, it was just a lot of government paperwork. So anyway.
Oh my God. I remember working at a print shop, or, you know, when I was a teenager, and we printed those forms.
Oh my gosh.
The NCR, the white, yellow, pink. You know,
so much paper.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So much paper. So there's BBDO still around.
Yeah.
I ended up going then my first job from, that was internship, and then I went to West Wayne.
Okay.
Which is privately owned, but is now 22 Squared.
So
they're
still around.
Just in a different form.
Yeah. And they've spun out different little entities here and there and done different things.
Yeah. And have kind of evolved and grown, and whatever else. Worked there for years. And that's when I was like, oh, well, I need to go do creative. Like, I need to be on the creative side.
Sure, sure.
Went back to school and then.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but.
Yeah, this is kind of like a weird sort of run through your history.
But it's kind of a run through the history. And then it was, I remember getting out of school and the hot creative shop in town was a company called Huey Paprocki.
Yeah, they were lights on fire.
Anybody who's been around in Atlanta advertising for a while will know them. two really good guys, Joe Paprocki and Ron Huey. Ron was the writer. Joe was the art director.
Okay.
Small shop, and they were right in Virginia Highlands, right by Neighbors. Remember where Neighbors?
Yeah, absolutely.
They were in that little building that kind of attaches to
I never worked with them at all or did any freelance or anything, but I think you did, right? Didn't you cross paths with those guys?
Well, that was the hot shop. That's where everybody wanted to work, and so I, like everybody else, wanted to work there.
Yeah.
Met those guys and was never a full-timer there, but was just kind of a hired gun on a bunch of stuff.
That's cool.
And worked primarily with Joe.
Okay.
I worked as a writer, and then Joe was art director.
What was Huey doing?
On a bunch of products.
He was just doing other things.
He was writing on other stuff. Okay. Just kind of creative directing and writing on other stuff too.
Got it.
But they were all, they did really great work.
How big did those guys get it? Do you remember at all?
Somebody's gonna, knowing that you weren't there full time. I want to say they were probably 12.
Okay. Like in the 20 and under range.
I think they were under 20.
Okay.
And they were always just boutique. I mean, they were creative.
They did some kick ass
work.
Yeah. I remember they had a Northside Hospital campaign around town.
Yeah.
I loved that billboard campaign. That thing ran for a long time. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what the tagline was. It was Lifetime of Care. Why would I remember that?
That's right. I think it was a Lifetime.
And it was the two symbols on either end that sort of signified, you know, it was like a sippy cup on one side and like a you're over the hill mug of coffee on the other. You know, and it's like, you know, they did that. I remember they did a bunch of stuff for the
Atlanta History Society.
Yeah. Why do I even remember this stuff?
They were great ads. I mean, they were an award shop.
I mean, they were just
award after award after award.
Yeah. Print magazine when that was a thing. Communication Arts, I feel like. I couldn't even tell you what other advertising annuals, but they had a ton of other stuff in there. So what did you, what'd you work on with those guys?
Joe and I worked on Blue Links.
What's that?
Blue Links is like a ginormous logistics company. They're like a massive. They're headquartered here.
Okay.
But they're massive. Worked on that. Worked on.
Is that still a thing? Is Blue Links still a thing?
Okay. Oh, yeah. They're a big global
monster. Got it. I wasn't sure if they changed their name or, you know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I remember.
I got to take my vest off.
I know.
It's getting hot in here.
Maybe one of the first ads I worked on that was a print ad. And I somehow got the scoop on what the Blue Links was paying for the print ad, and my jaw about hit the floor. This is back in the glory days of go shoot whatever you want. Go do whatever you want. So he and I worked on that. We worked on Russell Athletic. We did a campaign for those guys. You've seen the work that we did. We did some real fun work for Zifty.
Zifty, yes.
The food delivery. Well, not just food.
It was like sundries and stuff. Yeah. A little bit of sin, right? Could you get booze back then or no?
I don't think you could get booze.
Cosmo was the booze one, I think. Cosmo, like K-O-Z-M-O. Because we had Webvan.
Yeah.
Remember, there was no Uber Eats. There's no real food delivery. But like Cosmo was like, you could get a pack of smokes.
Yeah.
Like a bottle of Jack Daniels and like, you know, a 12-pack of hot and fresh, you know, donuts, right, from Krispy Kreme delivered here. I mean, you could mix and match all this crazy stuff.
So. That was the whole campaign. That campaign, I remember, was Make a Night of It was the campaign platform that we came up with and the tagline, Make a Night of It. And so for Zifty, because you could get such a random thing, we created these little visual stories. So like one was...
Great campaign.
It was three items. It was a thing of fish food.
Okay.
The ice cream. And then there was, why am I blanking on this?
I feel like there was one that had like Cheech and Chong.
That's what it was. It was Cheech and Chong, a bag of Doritos.
And Visine eye drops.
Yeah,
Cheech and Chong DVD movie.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it was.
What was the fish food?
Maybe it was fish food, Titanic, and like Dramamine.
I think you're right on that. It was like a movie, something you eat or drink, and then something that tied it together.
And then another little anecdote.
That was a fun little visual.
That
was a great campaign.
But Huey Paprocki.
Yeah, great.
They're not around anymore. know when they went. I don't know when they went out of business, but they've since gone on to do different things. The two of those guys. But
are they still around? I don't even know. I never met them, so I have no idea.
I think they're around. I don't know how active or not active they are at this point. Kind of lost touch over the years. But that shop kind of came and went, which is interesting to me. How you have like a crazy powerhouse creative shop like that just kind of, you know.
One day is gone.
Yeah, just kind of one day is gone.
Well, do you remember Bright House?
Oh yeah,
Bright House was kind of like that too. Like, came up out of nowhere. Well, I shouldn't say came up out of nowhere, but
that was.
We're gonna space on it.
We are totally.
Carly Carlisi was one of the employees over
Kathy
there.
Right? Carlisi.
Kathy. That's right.
Joe Paprocki's wife.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Ryman.
Yes.
Joey Ryman.
That's right.
He's the one who started Bright House.
Yes.
And it was made as a think tank.
Yeah, but no final, they never did final.
It was all strategy and positioning and that sort of stuff.
And didn't clients get like a book or something? It was like, here's your whole strategic platform.
I think it was here it is. Yeah.
Here it is. And then go execute it with someone else. Yeah. Things like that. Yeah. But they were the hot thing for years and years, right?
Yeah.
Doing a whole bunch of super awesome, cool stuff, ideation and stuff like that, you know? But then, then all of a sudden it was like they were gone or something. I mean, again, I don't know what they were
kind of hot on the scene because Ryman was a pretty popular guy.
Yeah.
And he's written a couple of books and stuff like that. And they came on as not a traditional agency we're going to be a think tank kind of shop. More of a consultancy, really, I think, than a shop.
Yeah, I guess we're just always so busy, head down, doing our own thing, worrying about us and this and whatever. Like, this sounds weird and kind of self-serving, but I don't really pay attention to everybody else's, like, where they are, or where they went, or you know, sort of the age-old question of like, what happened to those guys? It's like I don't have the answers to any of those questions because I kind of don't pay attention. That kind of sounds like I'm being a dick about it.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed to me like. The agency scene or community, if you want to call it that, is a little more fragmented.
Yeah.
You know, because you had a lot of these big shops and then you had this trend of small shops, just creatives popping off and starting up shops. And so everything just sort of fragmented.
Yep.
And so I think it's not as tight of a community maybe as it once was.
Yeah.
You know,
but I don't... To your point about the award-winning shops, though, too, there was a whole thing in the 90s, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, where everyone was constantly churning into Addies and doing this and doing that. And I did a few. I had a run in that. You know.
Sure.
And I think kind of before owning your own shop, you're more in tune. I used to read Adweek, and you'd be more in tune with, like, where clients are and, you know, what shops are working on what projects and different things like that, right? Like, you know, just to sort of be aware of the community. But now it's like I'm just more aware of clients and
we're busy running the business. And you're right, your perspective changes a little bit, right?
Yeah,
when you're
a
hungry, starved young creative, you want to go work at the hot shop on the cool projects and do all the things.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
No one's looking at the bottom line or the business.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Well, you're not concerned with it at that point, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's kind of funny and weird. I guess when you put it that way, it makes a lot more sense than kind of just, you know, why am I so detached from the rest of the advertising community, I guess, you know, so or where everybody's going with it and things like that. So.
I think it's just smaller. You just got so many smaller shops now.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a big trend in the industry too, that big brands are now hiring shops, smaller shops like Hershey and other places like that are hiring, you know, 50 person shops, which is unheard of in the past.
Totally.
Because there's just such a wealth of talent, I think, out there that's spread out.
Well, another old school one that I did a little freelance, I never worked with Hugh Paprocki, but I did some work with Fountainhead way back in the day, if you remember those guys.
Yeah,
and
I remember
then our old pal Kelly, who we worked with as a client for a number of years as well.
Yeah, she was, right.
She was a copywriter over there.
Yeah.
Or maybe even ACD, I can't remember. So, but they were over on Mean Street. There were a bunch of like little agencies all down in Mean Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a couple years freelancing around town, you know, doing different things. I mean, I worked at giant shop, like BBDO. Well,
didn't you do some work at Fitzgerald and Company?
Yeah, I did a ton of work at Fitzgerald, So
I did some work over there, too.
Fitzgerald, they had Coke and Six Flags.
I worked on that with the crazy bald guy. Remember the...
Yeah. Oh, the crazy bald guy.
The crazy bald guy that promoted Six Flags. Yeah. We did spots for for that creepy campaign. Oh my God. I think that campaign went 2 years and they went, this is too weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a strange one. I think Fitzgerald, like, I don't have, you know, again, nothing bad to say about anybody. I think it was one of those, I was a tweener. I was freelancing around doing a bunch of different things for a bunch of different agencies, but I was trying to find a full-time gig where I wanted to go at that time. Right. And it was like, I remember having a conversation with one of their creative directors, and I'm going to forget everybody's name, so I'm not even going to try, but it was like, well, what are you? Are you a designer or are you an art director? Like, which one, you know, like,
you're like, I'm looking yes.
At, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, looking at your book and it's like, well, which one are you? Like, what, you know, it's kind of like, well, which one do you need to hire? You know, that type of thing. Right. So yeah, I did some stuff with, Fitzgerald. Another F agency. Well, actually three F's, because Fountainhead did a bunch of work there. I couldn't even tell you what clients I worked on over there.
I never did any work.
Yeah.
I didn't do any work with
them. They were fun. I mean, I did some, you know, the old school day, you used to drive in, bring your own laptop, sit there and freelance all day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, jam out a bunch of ideas, you know?
Yeah.
So Fountainhead did a bunch of stuff for those guys. Fitzgerald's still around. Fitzco, aren't they?
Fitzco.
Yeah, Fitzco. Mm-hmm. I have no idea if Dave Fitzgerald is still there. I would guess so. But I don't have the answers to any of the questions. Do you remember Fletcher Martin Ewing?
Yeah.
You know? I think they ended up rebranding to Fletcher at a certain point.
They did.
Did they?
They did.
Okay. And they were like downtown by like the SunTrust Plaza or something like that. I don't know.
How did I know?
I mean, this was, again, dude, this is like 20 years
Fletcher
ago.
Fletcher Martin, gosh, I haven't thought of that name in a while.
Yeah. I'd have to go back through my files to figure out what I even worked on over there. Somebody in town I did a bunch of Singular Wireless work for, or some other wireless company. But again, Singular doesn't even exist anymore either. I mean, that was bought by AT&T or whatever. So, and then there's a couple other guys, you know, little ones around town. They're still around. I remember Denmark. Denmark is still around.
I do.
I believe.
Yeah, I remember Denmark.
And then our friend Brian Jackson, I think, was over at Denmark for a little while. But that was after.
Wasn't Denmark? Didn't they kind of have a niche though? What did Denmark? Were they real estate stuff?
I think they were real estate. It was either that or Full Circle Productions. They were real estate. Something I
feel like maybe it was Denmark.
Denmark was, I think was real estate as well. And then the old one that like I when I left Turner and went into design firm land and agency land, I worked for a company called Working Design, right? And that was super small firm. It was great. I was the top of the ladder, but I was the bottom of the ladder. This lovely lady, Jude Lindquist, gave me an opportunity and I worked there for a couple of years. But they shared space. Like we were kind of inside Sawyer Riley Compton. Remember Sawyer and those guys?
Yeah, SRC.
Yeah. SRC. And then they either were bought or merged or something with some firm out of Pittsburgh, I feel like, or something. Years down the line or whatever. But so they would hire us a little bit here and there, but mostly it was kind of like I didn't work there, but it's like, oh, I'm at the coffee machine and you're at the coffee, you know, like that type. We had our own little entrance. We had our own space. We had our own offices. We were a totally different company, but we were kind of on that same floor with them. And so by osmosis, I just sort of got to see kind of what they were working on and things like that. That was a really fun shop, but I also saw them go through a bunch of different creative directors and things over the years.
I remember that at West Wayne. It was like, every 2 years, I mean, they got they bring in somebody, or maybe even every year.
Just 2 years feels like an eternity.
The most boisterous personalities.
Yeah.
I remember several different ones. I won't name any names, but just obnoxious individuals.
Really. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I won't name any names, but it was, we brought in the new hotshot who was from some other city.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, they won all the awards in Denver or wherever.
They're from JW up in New York.
Yeah. And they're going to come in, they're going to change our culture. They're going to bring our creative around. They're going to do this, you know? And it was like, oh, you're like almost bipolar, where it's like one day, hello, how are you? The nicest, happiest, shaking, you know? And then the next day it's like, you don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or you're like yelling at me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kicking boxes and stuff in the storage room. Like, it was a fun time back then.
Well, back in the days of martini lunches.
And
God knows what other debauchery went on.
Well, I think, you know, again, we've talked about it on other podcasts where like, winning an award has never gotten us a single client ever. I mean, you know, there is some, you know, advertising award shows are kind of funny and silly just in general, right? But there was a time when it was like, and there are creative directors out there that's like their sole mission is just to win awards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, oh, this is the creative director that's only going like,
well, it's what gets you the job,
yeah,
the next job, you know, yeah, oftentimes. And I think yeah, for large clients, so maybe they care about that stuff to some degree, but I think it's more just about, you know, you win awards and you can attract the hot young creative
yeah,
folks and
yeah,
and
yeah. No, there's multiple reasons for doing it,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, which is talent acquisition is probably the number one component,
I would
for
say,
sure, you know. But it was funny to sort of be on the outside watching all that stuff sort of happen, to your point about every year there's a different sort of scenario. So and then we both did a bunch of freelance at Gray. Remember Gray?
When oh,
they
were yeah, here in Atlanta? We worked on, what was that?
We worked on some electrical thing.
No, but what was the, it wasn't, God, what was that whole campaign that we did that was, it wasn't Rubbermaid.
Well, Cryovac.
It was Cryovac.
Yeah, we worked on Cryovac. Yeah. Sealed
yeah,
Air.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I had worked at other agencies too. That account had been through multiple different firms,
yeah,
I feel like, in Atlanta.
Yeah, because we worked with Mike Lewis. Shout yeah, out Lewis,
yeah,
if you ever hear this.
Yeah.
Because he was temporary creative director.
Yeah,
there.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, we were like one step away from having Gray business cards. At certain point, you know? I mean, yeah, we're like on photo shoots, you know, yeah, like, you know, but I mean, that's the way agency life is. You have like kind of permalancers, freelancers, you got full-timers, yeah, you got whatever. But I remember, you know, oh my God, we got to sit in on all these Gray meetings. I was like, what in the world?
What are we doing here?
What? Yeah. What is happening right now? But I mean, that's a giant, you know, unlike, you know, Fountainhead or Huey Papraki or things like that, you know, those were giant firms, you know,
oh, yeah,
like when you're freelancing at BBDO, there's like hundreds of people there or whatever, you
yeah,
know what I mean? Versus the little guys. So, you know, but Gray, I can't remember. I mean, they closed Atlanta years and years and years ago, I feel like. I mean,
yeah, but then they became like Gray TV. Like they kind of
did they splinter?
Shape-shifted okay, a little bit into okay, different things. I don't know the trail of it, but.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But yeah, they've been through a lot of mutations, dare I say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think to kind of bring it around, here's the one common denominator about shops that still exist and shops that don't,
mm,
and shops that are large
I'm
and shops that are
this,
small, is that I would say from my experience, and I assume the same is true for you, that all of our experiences have taught us a lot.
Absolutely.
Right? And kind yeah, of brought us to and a lot less, you know, lessons learned on what to do, what not to do, how to run things, how not to run things, and
totally,
all those kind of good things. So there's a lot to be learned along the way, for sure.
Yeah, fun
for
time
for sure. Atlanta advertising. See where we are in the next 20 years.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster.
Who knows?
It's fun times.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning yeah, in. You can find us on the socials. You can find us on the .coms.
Ooh,
yeah. That's right.
What about a .net?
We're all over the place. I love a .net. I'm afraid of a .net. Anyway, check us out and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks everybody.